Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Event Mavericks, a place where we challenge assumptions and garner solutions in event management. Let's dive in.
Back to Event Mavericks with myself, Rachel Fusco, and my other amazing co-host, Sarah Colley. I know, don't mind us. So we're going to change things up a little bit on this particular episode. Sarah and I both attended the 2024 BizBash Spring Connect. So for those of you who are familiar with BizBash, it's an industry publication around everything event related. Different though, however, than like your MPI or your MPI or Smart Meetings, because they focus on events holistically. So recently I was just reading about all the cool activations that were in Coachella. So I really enjoy BizBash a lot because it steps out of the norm of just your average like corporate meeting. And so that's what they cover. So anyways, every year they offer opportunities to connect, quote unquote, spring connect with all sorts of planners and other folks that are wanting to just, they're looking for resource, they're looking for connection. And so this year for Imprint, Sarah and I, through the business development department specifically, targeted their Spring Connect, and then they also have their their Connect Marketplace, which happens in the fall. And so we were like, let's give this a shot. We've attended previously, but for those that may or may not care for Imprint, the business development department, at least the way that it's being developed or built at this point, is new on some level. And so she and I are two but mighty, mighty women. Yes. of many talents that will take the events industry by storm. And so we are like grabbing this bull by the horns and rolling with it. And so we thought today we would share about all the things that was BizBash, our experience, what we did, all the fun things, all the learnings, some takeaways. And then it really helped us start to think through strategy as we lead into Marketplace. So we thought we would just talk about that on this episode. Sarah, do you want to add anything?
I think that was spot on.
Okay.
I think we're ready to roll. Let's do this.
All right. That's great. And just so you know, like our producer makes fun of us because we're loud. And so I guess we spike our mics, which if you
and
know
because
Sarah
I try to get
person,
hair and makeup and craft services and it's an all a no. I don't get it.
And it and just
why?
In case, yeah. And in case you guys care, we're loud. We're loud and we're proud. And yep. You guys want to be our best friends anyways, regardless of our inside volume. So if we start squeaking out in your ear, it's cool, cool. If you guys want to put us on mute and read the transcript, it's probably just as dynamic as our voices. Anywho, so for BizBash Spring Connect, we're going to start with our prep, kind of how it works of that nature, et cetera. So those of you who have been to IMEX, I would say it's fairly similar, but I would also say it's very different on a bunch of different levels. Well, first of all, IMEX is really effing huge for one thing.
Massive.
And Spring Connect is obviously not that large, but similar in the sense of like how you get appointments and you get to reach out to them and talk to them. I would say for those listening, if you're comparing Spring Connect, and actually maybe I'll close with this versus opening with it because there's some pretty interesting pointers between the two. But anywho, so as we led into the prep portion of it, the way it works, I'll go through the logistics of it. And then Sarah, dive into like your experience as we sort of like navigated through all the things. So what happens is it's really a 3-week window. You get 3 weeks where you gain access to this portal. So again, all this is going to sound fairly familiar for those of you who have participated in these types of events, but you get access to this portal and we signed up for the corporate track. And so ultimately what you do is you go through this portal and you pick all the people, right? You read through each of their profiles. And there was 130 people to read through profiles. So what I think BizBash is really good at is they collect a lot of information up front. So we were able to like open up these different people portals and or open up the portal, open up these different peoples basically and read through what they were looking for, all the things, where do they come from, who are they with, all the stuff. So that was really great. So we were able to go through and research each individual client. We then uploaded them. I wouldn't say upload. Unfortunately, we had to manually input them because it's not really downloadable. So we manually input them into our CRM system. to just kind of track all that information, put in the notes. But it's great because they have an RFP that we're able to attach and all that stuff. So that's where we started. That was the first baseline. And then Sarah and I got together and we're like, okay, let's do this. Divide and conquer. And so I don't know, Sarah, if you want to dig into that. Because, I mean, obviously we both had to like tackle this big list.
It's a lot. I mean, it's really at the beginning in the prep phase is obviously a lot of research. Yeah. So I know for us, it was, you know, do we have any connections to this particular person as to figuring out who would take what clients? So I know that we, even if it was like, you know, we used to work at the same place or we've lived in the same city, anything where you can connect with people, I think was always key because it just creates a good starting point in your conversations with them. So I felt like that was really useful for us. So it's sometimes it's just the little details like that. It doesn't always have to be business related.
Yeah.
But I felt like when we do that and when we pinpoint people that we feel we'd be a good fit with, I noticed that when we took the time to do that, those actual conversations with those people ended up being the most successful, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And so like Sarah said, it does take time. And what's great is the CRM system we use, which we use HubSpot, is it auto-populates their LinkedIn profile. So what was really glorious for us in the prep was some of the access to automations, the efficiencies, the note-taking, the centralization of information. We weren't having to go to different people to look. It was just really awesome. So the prep part for us was great. And so, you know, when you went through, you kind of selected then the people based off our research. We selected the people we wanted to schedule quote unquote one-on-one meetings with. And what I thought was interesting leading into the, it's again, still all this is, don't get me wrong, this was like a week and a half basically before the show launches. This is what we're doing. And so through that piece of it, out of the 120, I think I sent out around 60 invites to schedule an appointment. And that's through their portal is what you do. And then after a week and a half or so, the portal, and if anybody from BizBash is listening, I apologize if I butchered your timeline, but I mean, this is what it felt like. So like a week and a half after or so, we then leaned into, after that piece of it, we then leaned into they came back to us like, oh, your appointments are now available. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So then you go back in and it's spread over 3 days, but it's really, I would say 2 days of appointments because you started half day Tuesday, all day Wednesday, and then Thursday morning, and then departures. So squeeze all that in and you could do 2 days of appointments. But ultimately, we went back through and I thought what was really interesting, and this, I think it's their algorithm from what I was hearing from them. I really have to ask our rep, Alex at BizBash, how this really works. What I found really interesting is that not everybody that I requested an appointment with was on my roster. But yet people I didn't request appointments were on my roster. So I don't know if it's an algorithm. A lot of people were talking about an algorithm. Somebody else was saying maybe it was the hosted buyer that really determines who they meet with versus the supplier picking, like when they prioritize the ask. So in the end, out of 120 people, ultimately, and sending out 60 or so invites, would we end up with like 37? I feel like
36, I think so, 37-ish.
36 or 37. Yeah. And we had some gaps in our day, obviously. The only downside for it, which is kind of a bummer, although again, hindsight, which we'll share hindsight feedback or like things that we could definitely do for marketplace that's coming up. They closed the portal. So you can't make any changes. You can't add any more. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, okay, cool. So then after all of that research, we had to go back and re-research other people because again, who we thought versus who we got, then we just went back through. And then that's when Sarah and I sort of like divided and conquered and all that nature. And then that's what we got from. So that was our final. So that was prep leading into the event. And so that was sort of what all the things that we did leading into it. Now we did some other things, which kind of leads into the part two, which is really the on-site stuff. So one thing that we did do that Sarah and I were talking through from a strategy point were the touches. How many times did we want to try to talk to these folks before we even met them in person? And how do we talk to them? Mm-hmm. And then when we're there, how do we keep them engaged? So if you guys know me, at all for anybody who's listening. And Sarah knows me. I hate pitches. I hate them. Mm-hmm. I literally hate them. And I don't pitch necessarily. I don't like to be like, hey, this is who we are. This is what we do. That is so not my jam on any way, shape, or form. I like to just understand who they are. And so Sarah and I were talking about this, and we're going to lean into messaging matrix. That's going to be sort of the next part of this episode. So she and I were talking just initially around strategy. How do we talk to them? What do we do? All the things. And I don't know, Sarah, do you have anything to say about that before I got into the survey?
No, I think you're right on.
I know, poor right Sarah. She's like, no, you just, yeah. I know. I just.
No. But you handled so much of the pre-stuff, the pre-prep, the pre-research, all of that stuff. So I think this part's good. I'll talk in the next part.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's good.
I'm coming. Really don't fun. Worry.
Okay, good. Okay. She's coming in hot, folks. Don't you worry. Yes, I'm dominant, but then she's really fantastic. Okay. Anyway, so one of the things at these things, which I always find this really interesting, there's always giveaways. And Sarah and I are like, can we come up with something that's not a water bottle?
Yes.
So she and I were really thinking through that. Now, again, we'll get into this when we get to the onsite. But basically what we wanted to do is we actually selfishly and also beneficially, okay, it is absolutely mm-hmm. two sides. We wanted to find out from these guys, pain points. What are our talking points? Mm-hmm. Business development, like I said, at Imprint, from a new strategy standpoint, we're really trying to dig into our personas, our planner personas, our buyer personas. Who are they? How do they think? Because not everybody is the same. And so when it comes to prioritization, or in our case, we love to be client-centric. Well, how do we do that mm-hmm. if we don't actually understand? So I told her, I was like, at the time, I'm like, let's do a survey. Let's do a survey. And then we would pay people to fill out this survey.
We'll pay you.
I mean, they didn't get it until after the survey. And it was a fast mm-hmm. survey. I don't know. Would we come up with like 8 questions? I can't remember or whatever.
Yeah, super easy.
Yeah. So we'll get into the stats for the end of the episode. But that was part of our strategy leading into day of with all the prep was, who are these people? When we started mm-hmm. doing researching again, all of the people after we knew who our appointments are, it's like, who were they? What are some things that we can garner from the information that they sent over? Mm-hmm. There was a really big Fortune 500, very prominent company there. And my big question, I told Sarah, I was like, I'm dying to know why they're even here because of who they were or who they are, I should say. It was odd to me that, no offense, BizBash, mm-hmm. that they'd be at BizBash Spring Connect going and taking appointments. I was like, this is so strange. Like coming from a CPG company, we have a whole process. Like there's a procurement process. There's a qualifying mm-hmm. process. I was like, this is really strange to me. So that, crazily enough, that was going to be my ask of them. When I had my one-on-one appointment, I was like, I'm going to ask these guys what the hell they're doing here.
Why are you here?
Anyway, that was all. So that's the prep that we did, that example just leads into the fact that we were trying to be very client specific and look at, like, mm-hmm. try to read between the lines, understand what they do, and then take our knowledge and expertise and then apply it to, quote unquote, if you want to call it the pitch, but really mm-hmm. it was more of us digging into who they were. So that's, and then creating an opportunity of being memorable, mm-hmm. which for us was the survey and a $25 gift card because we didn't want mm-hmm. to send another water bottle. And that's exactly what our card said, is that this is not another water bottle slinging sales pitch.
Yeah.
That's what we did. We're real proud of it. Anyway.
Very clever.
I know. It was really fun. Thank you to our creative department. Yay. Okay.
Yay.
So that was prep. So now we're at BizBash and we're in this compressed timeline. And Sarah and I talked. We like would powwow, right? Sit in our table, get there like an hour early, powwow, talk through some things. And because we split the appointments, just so you guys know, there's like, first of all, you better not have any stomach issues. You need to figure out where the bathrooms are before you even start because mm-hmm. you don't have no time.
No time.
There was like no water stations anywhere. And you're so parched because all you're doing is talking.
And no trash cans, I noticed either. I was trying to get rid of my coffee cup for like an hour and a half.
Okay. So we're like leading in with some of the like the obnoxious bad stuff. So we'll lead in with good stuff. It was great though. It was really great.
Yeah.
So we strategized. We kind of got our poop in a group and basically high-fived each other and sent each other out to the wolves. And I'm not kidding. It was, so the way that BizBash divided the room was they had sports, association. Then they had corporate, and I can't remember the other few. So they had them categorized. And like I said, we signed up for corporate. So we were kind of in the middle, and there was probably four aisles. Would you say four aisles of tables?
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
It was, and then
it was
you have
lot.
7 seconds between your appointments.
Just slightly stressful.
Yeah.
No big
to
deal.
Get to your next appointment literally was like 7 or 10 seconds. It was insanity. You have 7 minutes, right? I think it was a 7 minute pitch time, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. 7 minutes. And then is it 1 minute to get to your next, if even
not even
to get to
a minute. It was not a minute. It was literally like 10 seconds.
It's very intense.
It was.
I was like, the whole time Rachel's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I know. This is too much.
It's a lot. And you're constantly looking up the clock.
Yeah. That's the thing. The clock, looking at the clock and you're like, I have 30 seconds and it's very stressful and there's no time to write your notes and you got to write while you're walking to the next appointment. I was like, this is chaotic.
Yeah. And if you can't tell, I'm already long-winded. So I was like, this is just not enough time for me. I am sorry. I don't know how you expect me to, how to get to know these people. This is like terrible. Anyway.
Yes.
So it was just very compressed and stressful. But she and I both decided that we wanted to kind of present it. So in fairness, we probably didn't really decide. I think we just naturally, Sarah and I have different ways of pitching and presenting imprint. And that's what's so great because you have different personalities that really connect with different people on different levels. So it was great. So Sarah had her version and I had my version. And so then afterwards we came together. We're like, okay, how did it work? What did you say? How did you talk? What did you do? All things. And like, all the stuff. So my version was, I don't think I actually had a version. And again, if you guys know me, I'm the most unscripted person. It's terrible.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. Like,
you just roll with the punches, baby.
Yeah, it's all the things.
And I'm the complete opposite. I am notes, detailed. I know what I want to cover. Very different. But that's good though.
It's so good.
Yeah, we run the gamut. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good because there's so many times that I finish a call or I finish a conversation. I'm like, God damn it.
I forgot.
God, yes. I totally forgot to say that. Stop. And then Sarah's like, I
did that the other day.
Checklist.
If it makes you feel better, I did actually the other day. I was like, after the call, and then someone even reminded me afterwards and I was like, it was on my list and I forgot. You get sidetracked. You know how it goes.
Yes. Oh, yep. Anyways, all the things. Maybe it's a girl thing. I don't really know. But anyway, so we did. So for me, it was, I really just sat down with them, introduced myself, and basically just said, oh, I noticed, I usually lead in like, hey, I was reading through your information and I noticed a couple of pointers here. Tell me a little bit more about that. Like, where are you exactly in the process anyways? And I never even really brought up imprint. That was not really my thing. I would try to extract from them. This was always my approach was to extract from them where they in the planning process with whatever event it is that they listed on their sheet. Mm-hmm. Where are they feeling pain points? And then I would find out a little bit more about them. Like, oh, I just noticed that you started at like this particular company a year ago. How's it going so far? Are you missing your old job or do you just love it? Are you still good? There was just interesting conversation where I was able to sort of extrapolate some tidbits of information because then I would try to, at the end of my time, which is like, you know, like 6 minutes, you're like, gah, gah, gah. At the end of the time, I would quickly then put in, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So we could actually, I would always say like the reason I'm asking this is because I want to make sure that whatever imprint is able to offer you makes sense to whatever it is that you need. So it usually ended with me saying something like that. And then I would talk a little bit about the survey and say, you know, speaking about that, would you be willing to complete the survey? Because for us, we really pride ourselves on being client-centric and we want to understand your pain points because we're not going to get better unless people are willing to talk to us, right? How do we actually improve or make those changes? And so that was sort of my methodology. And then believe it or not, I actually did have a notebook because in this particular case, when you're making, just writing versus like typing notes in to the app, which Sarah and I will talk about kind of in the follow-up at the end. But ultimately, that's what we did. And then in passing, she and I would just like, high five, you're going to live. It's going to be great. Good luck.
When we were running to the next.
Yeah. And then off went Sarah. And sometimes I would be like running and she's making eye contact. I'm like, okay, go. So we'd leave all of our stuff together. Anyways, okay. So then off you went. And you did yours.
Yep. And so my approach is a little bit different. And I'm very big on pushing the value of imprint. And again, obviously there's value in any team that you bring on to assist with you, but I really like to push from, like, I would say making a planner's life easier. I know we know planners have so much. It's one of the most stressful jobs you can have. It's always on the top 10 list. So I always like to push with, you know, we have such an incredible team, our technical production team, our creative team, our creative production team. So there's so much value in bringing us on board as an extension of your team. To, I mean, my thing I always say is, God forbid you get an hour back to go to the yoga this week.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think we're just so busy. And I know that from a company standpoint, they may not care as much as the individual does, but to an individual planner, I mean, if you get an hour back because you have a team to assist you and you don't have to answer all these vendor emails, then maybe you can go to your kid's soccer game or pick them up earlier from school and go do something fun. So I like to look at it more from a, you know, they're people. They're just like you and I. So what can we showcase them that will make their lives easier? And I think, and that really resonated this year. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
But I did notice with a lot of planners, pretty much most of the people I spoke with when we got to that topic and didn't go down a rabbit hole, that they really were like, you know what? We really do need help. It's too much. There's just two of us.
Yeah.
And because so much of it is, it's not a whole department you're talking to. A lot of it corporate wise is one, two, three people. They're handling everything and it's too much.
Yeah.
It's just too much. And they don't have the resources, nor is it necessarily, doesn't make sense to bring on an extra person.
Right.
But if you're doing the event anyways, and you're bringing us on in addition to, you know, doing the basic stuff, you're also getting access to all of these people that are so experienced and have so much expertise in their areas. So,
I don't know if you guys could hear it, but for me, Sarah's approach feels relieving. Mm-hmm. So for them, and there were quite a few that they were bug-eyed and they were feeling the pressure of like the back-to-back events where they're like, oh my gosh, back-to-back appointments, sorry. To the point where Sarah and I both were like, man, these people don't get a bathroom break.
No, that was why I was even like, at least we're walking. So if I had to run to the restroom, I guess I could and be late to my next appointment. But I was even asking them, I'm like, do they schedule time for you in here to like, God forbid you need to go get a water?
Yeah. And they were on like, I mean, it seems like when you look at the block of time, it's maybe an hour and then they get a break and then there's another hour block. And it doesn't seem like a lot, but when you're squeezing in
seven minute
appointments into an hour with a transition time, that's a lot of people in 1 hour where you're constantly having to be on. It's pretty, I mean, I guess in some ways it's like getting a shot. It's like hurry up and do it and get it over with versus like you're dragging it on forever. But it's pretty brutally hard. And I felt bad.
And
for
you know
some
what? I was telling some of my appointments, I said, I need to remind myself I can talk to you again. I don't have to get everything in the seven minutes because it very much felt like, oh, I got to get my point across and I want to make sure I ask them these questions. And it was like, wait a minute, there's this thing called the phone and email and we can talk again. So that's what I ended up trying to do after I was like, this is just too much. So we would just kind of initially start the conversation and then we would schedule and arrange our follow-up calls and emails and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that's,
that helped a little bit so that I wasn't so chaotic.
Right. And you're like, I mean, you do want to make that really good first impression because this is an opportunity. I will say like meeting somebody in person versus trying to cold pitch or cold call somebody is different. So you do feel like you can connect with them or you get a chance to read like body language or whatever it is versus like just trying to be like, hey, picking up the phone. So that was sort of like during the event. And she asked, you obviously asked about the surveys too on that piece
of it. People loved it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, we were not only obviously being client centric, but sustainability is such a big thing now. And I'm not necessarily like an environmentalist per se, but it does drive me batty when we go to these conferences and everybody gives out their tchotchkes and you leave for the day and it's all sitting on the tables and you know, it's getting thrown away. And we've had discussions internally too with our coworkers that a lot of times there's so much stuff you're given that you just leave it in the hotel room. We were joking that the housekeepers have to have just like stashes at home of all the leftover stuff.
Talk about a yard sale.
I mean, because you don't want to waste it. But so that's where we were like, do we really want to invest in a water bottle or something like that. No, let's give them something they want. And so we were able to exchange information in exchange for here's $25, go get what you want. We were going to spend it on a custom water bottle anyways. So instead, do what you want. And people loved it. People were really like, you know, I really like that this is thoughtful because the waste is just too much.
Yeah, it's a lot. And so it was fun. They enjoyed the card. There was lots of things where everyone was really obsessed with the thumbprint wax seal.
I know. Everybody loves that.
Yeah, they were all about it.
Team again. They're getting all sorts of shout outs on this one.
I know. So we did a trifold card and because obviously with imprint, we're at our sort of part of our brand, obviously, part of our logo is a fingerprint. And so there are these, they look like a wax seal. They're stickers, but they're literally like a plastic sticker. But when you look at them, you think it's a wax seal. Mm-hmm. And they're super intense, by the way. Like, I think it's Gorilla Glue. It's like Gorilla double-sided tape.
Because
when you try to take it off, that ain't coming apart. It's like on there.
I was even so like whoa.
It was really funny. So people are trying to like break them, you know, like break it like a wax seal. I was like, no, that's intense. You're going to have to just pull at it.
Just rip it open.
Yep. And it's Gorilla double-sided. So it's going to rip. It's going to rip the page. Yep. It's just going to happen. But you're going to have a really nice blue fingerprint that you can put somewhere else. And everyone loved it. I don't know why it was.
They do. They love it.
So way to go. Again, creative department, like taking it to the next level. Anyway, so.
Oh yeah, always.
That was our time. And I would say like we made some new friends that we were able to take to dinner, which was really great. That was a lot of fun too, to follow up and just.
we won't get into those stories.
What?
We won't get into the stories that we heard at dinner.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's so fun.
That's another episode.
That's on our other podcast.
We'll have to have a guest on.
Yeah. It's our other podcast. Anyway, so
God.
Yeah, I know. That was really fun. So we were able to take some.
Laughing so hard. I was crying at some of these stories. So we should actually, we'll do another podcast about the wild.
Oh my
stories.
God. I forgot about that. You're like, is this happening? It's so true.
Is this real?
So true. It's so true. It was so good. So that was really fun. And we also realized between the two evenings, like it seemed like the first night, lots of them were committed to dinners, but it seemed like by the second night they weren't. And whether that's a strategy or not, and I don't know if I should actually care about that or not. Sometimes I always question myself, like, should we be more? Well, it doesn't matter. We had an opportunity. It was great. We went to an amazing Korean barbecue place in Vegas, which happy to share in the show notes. It was fantastic. Anyway, so after all of this is said and done, we debriefed. We just collaborated at the end of each day. And then we actually took our notes and then put them back into our CRM, into HubSpot. So that was really nice. They're all centralized in one location. We did all of our things and tagged everybody and all the stuff. So now, after all this is said and done, you know, we're back home and it's like, okay, now it's time for
the real work begins.
Yes. And I have been to biz bashes before. And I would say that previous biz bashes, they are not different, but I will tell you that the way that we managed this one was incredibly different than how we've done them before. And I mean, full transparency for those that are listening, like we're in a really robust CRM now that's got some pretty incredible bells and whistles on it on some level. The AI, the automations are some pretty intense stuff. And so because of that, that's made our job easier, not only on the research side, but then on the follow-up side, it was great. So for us, we collaborated. We were like, all right, let's lay it in. What did you feel like? And of course, we're riding the high because it's almost like it is 100%. I don't care. It is 100% like online dating. It is.
It's so funny. There's such a high afterwards.
Sarah's married. I am not. So then for me, I was like, this is just like, but you get like the connection. You're like, woo! And then you get to meet him. You're super excited. And then I met my husband. You just got to drive it home. So anyways, but that was our thing. So we collaborated, we debriefed, put in all of our notes. We talked about our pitches, how it worked, how it didn't, you know, like I would almost say we probably split it 50-50, but let's just say for this conversation, it was like 17 and 17. So 17 appointments each. Yep. I would say out of my 17 quote unquote appointments, maybe one of them was a dud, maybe two, But the rest of them were pretty, like they were engaged, I guess is how I'm judging it, was they were talking to you and they were actually asking questions versus like
they were
just
very
listening
much engaged.
To you. Not, yeah, they were engaged.
It wasn't the nod, like just to, okay, let's wrap this up and move it along here. It was very much engaged, which
where
was
you're
so
kind
nice
and like, thank
to.
You so much. We're moving on.
But it was, we both noticed that it was very different than other conferences where it does feel very transactional or they're just like, okay, come on, wrap it up. Like, got to go here. And it was very much every conversation was engaging. They truly wanted to talk to you and get information and vice versa. So it was, I thought it was very, very productive.
Yeah, it really was. I thought it was great too. So we sort of collaborated and then so what we did then when we came back for follow-up and staying connected is we segmented out the list. So we went back through and cleaned everything up because things kind of shifted on site. We moved some things around. So then we went back through and we obviously separated out our contacts. Then we actually came up with two segmented lists. We came up with a list where it's active appointments where we actually met these people. And then we came up with a list of everybody that we have information on, but never got to meet in person. So we had both lists coming back. We identified all the things. I would say up to this point, we've received 10 surveys, completed surveys.
Yep. Yep.
So 10 completed surveys out of, I think, 34 to 36, because we did have two no-shows. So I think it was 36.
That's
and there was actually 34 people we met with because there was two no-shows. And by the way, they were great no-shows because they actually sent emails and said, I'm sorry, I'm sick and not attending, but I'd love to still get information. So unlike you just walk up to the... So out of all of that, so out of 34 in-person handing these survey cards to, we received 10. So a third. We've got
a good
third
percentage.
Participation rate for that survey. So now our follow-up for Sarah and I is we asked, Sarah's really, really good about this. I didn't do this as often, but Sarah did this and asked when would be a good time to follow up.
I feel like that's one of my signature moves because I do think I think as salespeople, should I trademark this? As a salesperson, it's very much, you feel like you're making it about you, but it's not about us. It's about them, right? And this is in the midst of everyone's busy season.
Right.
And I did notice a lot of people said, no one's ever asked me that before. And so again, I instantly stand out because it's not about me.
Right.
And so I always ask, like, you know, I know you're probably in the midst of your busy season. I'm sure you're going to get 9 million emails next week from all the people you met.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that to you. When's the best time to follow up? I said I'd send an initial thing. Nice to meet you. And then in that email, which I did. And then I'd say, as we discussed, you asked me if I could follow up mid-May.
Yeah.
I put it on my calendar. I'll talk to you soon. And that's it.
Yeah.
But I think people appreciate that because as salespeople, it's like, oh, they want something from me. It's like, no, this is meant to be very much beneficial to both of us. So it's not about me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was... Sarah was great. I did actually take her lead on that towards the end of my appointments and ask. And that's really, so really for what Sarah and I are doing now for following up, and we're kind of getting kind of closing out here for towards the end of our episode, but we are just staying engaged. So we have those that we met with where we're able to like draw on actual participation, engagement conversation that we're following through. We're comparing their survey results and talking to them about their surveys. And then we have a strategy. So I will say video emails are fire.
Yeah, they're the best.
Level.
We love them.
Mm-hmm. We do love them. And you guys, like, we'll do them. We'll record our videos like creatives or content creators. I did one the other day where I was literally walking through my space, had my sunglasses on, selfieing it. And I said, hey, listen, I know that you're avoiding me, but now you're going to get these really awkward video emails. So let's just connect.
They're like, unsubscribe.
Yeah, really. And he actually wrote back. He's like, that's actually really funny. Okay.
Yes.
And so,
well, people, they love that you're real. People just want to, I mean, we're all people, right? Yes. It doesn't need to be some facade. So people love that.
Right. So I would say for really good follow-up, what Sarah and I have found a lot of success with is actually we do the soft follow-ups, like a soft email follow-up, no problem. We made sure we connected with them on LinkedIn and asked to be added to their network. So we did that as well. And then outside of that, we do the, like I said, the initial soft. And then we go into like, okay, we haven't heard from them. Let's just dig in a little harder. And so now we're doing video emails where we're recording a video and sending it out to these guys like, hey, we still want to keep this alive. We want to connect. We want to do all those things. And then for the, that's for all of our appointments that we had, that for the list of people that we have not had appointments with, we're still doing a video. We're still making it fun. And we're actually asking them to complete the survey. So we're including the link.
Yeah.
We still want their opinion and we're trying to bridge this gap. So we're getting creative in our follow-up, in our approach. We're trying to do different things. We're trying to be human. They're not, it's hard to connect on an email, guys. I'm sorry. Email campaigns are really brutally hard. They're really hard. And not everybody really wants to, they're like, okay, that's great. You don't even, whatever it is. And so I think if you get that video in front of their face, they're like, weird. And also slightly, okay, fine. We're going to keep doing that. So we're going to watch it anyway. But anyways, that was Biz Bash Spring Connect in sort of a nutshell. I would say the big things, the takeaways for us was research on the front end 100%. If you've got 100%. More people coming, I would absolutely A/B test your pitch and messaging to all of them. Like, just do it. Do it. And then...
Well, not even that. I think just to manage, it's too much for one person. And that's, I think, my biggest tip to anyone that's thinking about going to BizBash. While we did make some, you know, notes about what we did or didn't like, it was very productive for us. But I do think if you're thinking, please go with two people, it is so much more effective. Otherwise, I just feel like I think it's too much for one person to handle.
It was a lot. It would have been it's pretty exhausting. It's a lot. Yep. So definitely a team, A/B test. Okay. Some other tidbits, know where the freaking bathroom is, find it in advance, prepare yourself. Don't take any sort of vitamins that are not going to, don't.
Agree with your stuff.
I know. Oh my God. And then bring a water bottle full, by the way, full water bottle, because finding water stations was also a challenge. And bring some snacks.
And remember, you don't have to get everything done in that 7 minutes.
There and that's are, actually you what you should afterwards. Walk away from this episode remembering. You don't have to get everything.
There are ways to make it less stressful.
Yeah. And feel like just connect, do something fun. And then it's real. So I'm excited. I am excited.
Yeah. Oh, about very much so.
All the follow-ups that are coming out of this. I mean, yes, you're right. We're still following up. We're still talking to people. We have a couple, we actually did go, I will say, through a couple of pitches coming out of BizBash right now. I think three probably total, I think is what we're up to for getting the pitches. So out of 30, again, out of 34 in-person appointments, 10 of those were survey result, completions, and then three pitches. So 10% out of 30.
Yeah.
Or
that's
whatever.
Pretty
percentage.
Good compared I'm to marketing numbers, right?
Yeah. All the things. Yeah.
Yeah. So email campaigns, I feel like that's not, you know, so it's definitely more effective.
We're finding more success with the video, 100%. The video just being personable through that opportunity has been really great. So hopefully this wasn't too long-winded for you guys. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode and getting a little bit of insider information at BizBash. We're excited because we've got IRF coming up in June that we're going to be going to, which is another opportunity. And then we're also going to be going to the BizBash marketplace coming in the fall. And then obviously we've got IMEX and HPN and some other things. So there's a lot of stuff coming down the pipe that we might have to do little like recaps with. Just to keep you guys up to date, but we hope you enjoyed the episode. As always, like and subscribe. We're your new besties. Hope you guys all have a great day. Take care.